In the book of Isaiah, the prophet records God's word, and God says, I am the Lord, that is my name, I will not share my glory with another. That word glory is interesting, it means a lot of different things, but it's God's, his majesty, his beauty, his power, his magnificence, his splendor, all of those things are wrapped into that word. He will not share his glory with another. There is none like God. And that word glory, I mean, talking about God's power, his beauty, we can't experience it fully. It's too wonderful. It's too powerful. It'd be like staring into the sun when you're right up against the sun, the light of the sun, the heat of the sun. It would just consume us. It's too much. And so we only experience, we get glimpses of his glory as much as we can handle, as much of his beauty as we can handle. We saw it as we went through the book of Exodus, his glory. We saw it in the pillar of smoke and fire that he led Israel. We saw it, his power, as he sent plague after plague to the Egyptians. We saw his glory in the parting of the Red Sea. We saw his glory in the miraculous gift of manna every morning so that the Israelites could eat. This glory is amazing, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and throughout the Old Testament we see sign after sign. You see the prophets of Baal thrown asunder as God's glory, the Shekinah glory, comes in a pillar of fire to consume all that was on the altar. It's just a glimpse. We don't live in the Old Testament times, though. We don't live in the ministry of the law. We don't live in the ministry of Moses anymore. What do we live in? We live in the New Testament, the New Covenant, the time of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that has changed. And what's interesting and what's, I think, kind of hard is we don't really see the same kinds of signs and wonders that we did back in the Old Testament. We don't see the Shekinah glory, the pillar of fire and smoke. We don't see the parting of the Red Sea. We don't wake up in the morning and there's bagels on the ground ready for us to go, right? We don't see God immediately smite our enemies with plague after plague after plague. The ministry of the Spirit is more invisible than the ministry of Moses, than the ministry of the law. So why should we still be encouraged by the ministry of the Spirit, by the work of the Spirit? Why should we be encouraged by the work of God the Holy Spirit? As Paul continues writing to the church in Corinth, it was a personal letter, and in weeks to come, we'll get into some of more of the uncomfortable parts of that letter. But in chapter 3, verse 7, he wants to encourage them. He says this, "Now if the ministry that brought death, chiseled in letters on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites were not able to gaze steadily at Moses' face because of its glory, which was set aside, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" Okay, so he assumes that they already know what he's talking about. He doesn't give any backstory. So the ministry chiseled in stone, he's talking about the law. He's talking about the Old Covenant. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. If you remember, we went through the book of Exodus not too long ago. Moses went up to the mountain. God made the Ten Commandments on stone tablets for him. And as Moses is spending time with God up on Mount Sinai, his face began shining with God's glory. It's like God's glory began wiping off on him, wearing off on him, right? It's like just a little bit. And so when he came down, the glory was too much for the Israelites to handle. So they made him wear a veil over his face. Because they were too scared. It was too much for them to handle. They couldn't handle God's beauty. It terrified them, like staring at the sun. It's too much. I can't do it. I don't have the ability to stare into the sun and not get hurt. I don't have the ability to stand in God's glory, even a part of God's glory. And so they made him put a veil over his face. But if you recall, over time, that glory began to fade from Moses, right? He wasn't in God's presence anymore. It kind of went away. It went away. Moses kept the veil in place, so that they thought the glory of God still shone on his face. And so Paul's making the argument. He says, look, this ministry, the Old Testament, the covenant of the law brought death. And he's not saying that the Old Testament's bad. He's not saying that the covenant of the law was bad. It was good. It showed us how to have a positive relationship with God. The reason that it brought death was because it showed us that we can't live the life God calls us to live. We don't have the power. We're too sinful. We're too selfish. We're too self-centered. But he says, look, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? So the ministry of the Spirit, so since Jesus came, the Holy Spirit now dwells within every believer. This is now the ministry of life, the New Testament, the New Covenant, the covenant of Jesus, the ministry of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. Now, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, not only are our sins forgiven, which the law was unable to do, which it could just show us where we were wrong, now we have eternal life with Christ. Now we have the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who gives us the power to not sin. So he says, look, if that ministry, the Old Testament, that brought death and condemnation, if that had glory that was shining on Moses' face, how much more so the ministry that brings life? How much more so the work of the Spirit today, which continues to this very day? How much more glory will there be because this brings life? So why should we be encouraged? Why should we be encouraged by the glorious ministry, the glorious work of the Holy Spirit right now? Because again, it's largely invisible. I've never seen anything comparable to the burning bush. I've never seen anything comparable to the parting of the Red Sea. I've never seen anything comparable to manna on the ground, right? I get breakfast for my family in the morning, right? I don't like, there's no bagels outside waiting for me to pick them up. I would love ground bagels. No, family, that's not, don't prank me with that. That would be weird. Verse 9, Paul gives us the first reason of three. For if the ministry that brought condemnation had glory, the ministry that brought righteousness overflows with even more glory. In fact, what had been glorious is not glorious now by comparison because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was set aside was glorious, what endures will even be more glorious. So Paul is saying that we should find encouragement in the glorious work of the Spirit today, because this work today is better than the miracles of Moses. Because the work the Spirit is doing right now is better than all the miracles of Moses. He's saying, look, that old covenant, it was good, it had glory, but it led to condemnation. It did not give power to stand up under sin, and it led to death. In fact, the Israelites, they saw the miracles, right? They saw the Red Sea part. They saw the pillar of smoke and fire. And the second that it's gone for half a second, what do? They make a golden calf and start worshiping it. They didn't have the power to stand up under sin. But because of Jesus, we do. Because the Holy Spirit dwells within every believer who is trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we have that power, and we have forgiveness of our sins. He says, how much more glory is going to be there? And this glory is going to last forever. It's so much better than those miracles of Moses, than that old covenant. It's kind of like you think about inventions over the course of history, right? Like, typeface, right? To actually be able to write things down, not chisel them in stone anymore, to write them down. That's great. You know what's better than that? The typewriter. Oh my goodness, how much faster you could do that. You know what's better than the typewriter, though? As good as a typewriter of an invention that was, you know what's better than the typewriter? It's like a word processor, computer, right? Because you can delete the mistakes that you made easily without, like, you know, whiting it out or like ribbon, or I don't even know how it works. Like, I remember in school, like, we had the tail end of that. They're like, typing class, and we were on typewriters, and it was like, and then the next year it was like, computers, like, wow, things are changing fast, right? The computer's so much better. No one is going, I mean, I know, there are some eccentric writers that are going back to the typewriter, the old ways, but come on, it's so much better to have the computer and have modern word processing. Right? It really is. That's what Paul's saying here. The work of the Spirit is so much better than the work of the law, than the miracles of Moses. What we have now, even though you can't see it, is so much better. Or you think about years gone by when a loved one would go somewhere, right? You couldn't talk to them. You couldn't communicate. The advent of being able to do overseas mail was huge. And it is amazing. But even in my lifetime, when Kristen and I, before we got married, Kristen went to Ghana, Africa, And she could, like, I don't know, like, I think three times while she was gone for over a month, she could, like, get into an internet cafe and send me, like, a, I don't know, 500-character email. Like, it was slightly better than a tweet. And she could send that to me. And it was like, oh, I got an email from her. But now, just a few years later, I go to Vietnam, and we can Zoom with each other. We can go on Facebook Messenger and see each other's faces and put, like, you know, skins over each other's face and, you know, like, make yourself look like a dog or something, or a cat. A cat, yeah. Go to court dressed up like a cat. right? It's amazing. I mean, so much better than the email, so much better than the letter. Now we can see each other's face to face. I mean, I'd rather be in person, but still, it's so much better. That's what Paul's saying. The work of the Spirit right now, the ministry of the Spirit right now is so much better. Or you think about doing laundry. Anyone have to do laundry by hand before? Our washing machine died, so I was like doing it by hand, and oh my goodness, it's like, and thankfully we had like this dump sink over there so I could do it, and it took forever, and then we'd throw it in the dryer, and then it would take forever because I can't squeeze it out as good as the washing machine could get it out. And then I realized I have a camping washboard. Right? And it's like, it's a wet bag and it's got a little washboard in it. So you throw like a couple pair of jeans or something in there and you do this for 30 seconds and it gets it cleaner than I could do it 5 minutes like this. I was like, wow, this has saved me so much time. You know, it's better than a washboard? A working washing machine. Paul's saying, look, guys, don't look back and say, oh, yeah, I want that glory. I want to see the Red Sea parting. I want to see the Shekinah glory. I want to see the pillar of fire and smoke. I want morning bagels on my ground. That's what I want. He says, no, it's like using the washboard. This current ministry of the Spirit, which you can't see, is so much better. Now, some of you might be here saying like, yeah, but you know what? I really can't see that. And I would love to see the parting of the Red Sea. I would love to see a pillar of fire and smoke lead me and guide me in all the places that I want to go, right? That's got to be better than GPS, right? Not only does it lead you, not only does it not tell you the wrong directions, but it probably clears the way for you too. No traffic, right? It's got to be so much better. But think about it this way. I think what Paul is setting us up here is he's saying that greater than the miracles in Exodus is the power of a transformed life. It is harder to transform a life than it is to do all of those miracles, all of those plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, part the whole ocean. It's harder to change a person's heart. I mean, think about this. How many of you, if you feel like sharing this, how many of you know someone who has been cured of cancer? Anyone ever know someone who's been cured of cancer? Yeah, there's a few of us. Anyone know someone who's, you would say, miraculously cured of cancer? Yeah, there's a few hands. Anyone ever hear someone miraculously cured of cancer? Anyone ever hear that? Yeah, there's a few hands, right? Like, we've all seen that. Which is harder to do? What's more believable that's going to happen next week? You're going to hear about someone who was cured of cancer, or Vladimir Putin gets on the TV and says, I'm stopping this war. What I did was wrong. I repent, and I will make restitution. Which is more likely to happen? Cancer, right? You're all saying cancer. You're like, there's no way this is happening. That guy, like, he's doing this war because, like, now he's, like, double down, and the cost and the humiliation, right? Like, oh, it's like, yeah, we know. It is utterly impossible to transform anyone. Israel saw miracle after miracle, and then for half a second, the miracle's not there, right? Or half a second, they turn their eyes away from the miracle, and they're like, oh, that golden calf that's never done anything for us, let's worship that, sure, right? Like, oh, there's a nice guitar, that's an instrument, let's worship that, sure, why not, right? They couldn't help it. They couldn't help it. And Paul's saying a transformed life is the greatest miracle. It might be invisible, but it's more powerful. It's more power than the visible. What's invisible is eternal. What's visible fades away. I actually just saw an interview with a guy I follow on YouTube with the pastor who baptized Jeffrey Dahmer in prison after he converted, right? And, like, you know, I know that's, you know, there's a Netflix thing, which, whatever, I don't commend you watch that, but reading the Wikipedia entry on Jeffrey Dahmer is probably something I shouldn't even commend to you either, right? It's disturbing. He's a serial killer. and yet he encountered Christ, asked to be baptized, brought into God's family. If God can save someone like that, if God can transform like someone like that, he can do anything he wants. And Paul would argue, and I would argue, that being able to save someone like that, to transform someone like that, is a far greater miracle than any of the visible things that you see out there. And so he says, you should be encouraged by the powerful, by the glorious ministry, by the glorious work of the Spirit. Because what he's doing now is far better than the miracles of Moses. But it's not just that. It's not just that it's better and more glorious. He gives us another reason here. In verse 12, he says, since then we have such hope, we act with great boldness. We are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from gazing steadily until the end of the glory of what was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains. It is not lifted, because it is set aside only in Christ. Yet still today, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. So Paul, he starts off, we have this hope, and we can act in great boldness. So because we should be encouraged by the work of the Spirit today, because this hope gives us boldness. It gives us boldness to live for Christ. It gives us boldness to live as Christians in a world that would rather have us shut up and not say anything. It gives us boldness to go into all the dark places that God has called us to and bring the light of Christ, because we know that his work is far better. Paul is saying that, look, you know, Moses, he put this veil over his head, and to this day, when they read the Old Covenant without thinking about Christ, the same veil remains. Remember, Moses kept the veil over his face to pretend that glory was still there, right? It's kind of like, you know, imagine if you go on a first date with someone, right? And you show up like this. And you're like, hey, just so you know, I am really, really hot. what's the problem with that, right? You have no clue whether they are attractive or not. Like, me with the veil over my head, I don't know how attractive they are or not. I can't see anything, nor can they see me. But that's what he says Israel was doing at this point in time. They're over here like, guys, don't worry, we're really hot. Okay, well, we can't see you. You have a veil over your face. And then they couldn't see Christ because they had a veil over their face, and they're going to walk off stage, right? The blind leading the blind. He says, we don't have to live like that anymore. We don't have to pretend that we have God. We have God. The Holy Spirit lives within us. His glory is here. We experience it. Yes, it's invisible, but it gives us boldness. This boldness is like that same boldness, like if you ever had to go confront someone in authority about something that they did, let's say your boss, and you have to go confront them, that is a scary thing to do. But having the Spirit with us, this glorious work that he has today in us, it would be like going to confront your boss with your boss's boss's boss at your side. Right now, that's not so hard, right? Because you're like, oh, well, you got my back. You know this is wrong. Okay, cool. Let's do this, right? It's easier. It's kind of like if you ever played hockey. You know, we would play hockey at our neighbor's pond, and it was fun and everything. Unfortunately, usually it was cold, so you had all the padding on there. But you know what? The worst job position to play hockey when it's not professional, you're just doing it for fun. It was the goalie. Right? And it's not because the whole game rises or falls on you. It's because people hit pucks at you at really fast speeds, and you're not wearing pads. But when you do wear pads, it isn't a problem. It doesn't hurt. Sometimes you barely even feel it, right? The few times I actually wore pads while playing hockey, it was like, did I get it? Did I stop? Oh, it's not, right? And because I'm not getting pelted. That's what it's like, he's saying. You have boldness, because all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I'm the goalie. You know, I've got padding. I've got the Lord God Almighty on my side. Who can stop me? Or it'd be like if you're going to your employer and asking for a raise, which is always scary, and especially if, you know, they don't want to give raises, but you already have another job lined up that pays better. So it's like, well, if I can get more money out of them, cool, I'll stay, right? And if not, cool, I'll go. That's what he's saying. It's like when we have the Holy Spirit, we have this boldness Because we have this hope. A hope that's better than the pillar of smoke and fire. Better than the man on the ground. It's just unbelievable. Some of you might be here saying, like, look, I'm scared to do the things Christ has called me to do. I'm scared to lovingly confront sin. I'm scared to share the gospel with the people that I feel this burning desire to share the gospel with. Take a step of faith. Take a step of trust. And trust that the same God who parted the Red Sea will open the door for you. That's what Paul is showing us here. That same God who led Israel with the pillar of smoke and fire will lead you in all the places that you need to go. The same God who cast Egypt into a sea of plagues will stop your enemies from the work that God has called you to do. He will stop your enemies and he will move them and remove them as obstacles. That same God who provided manna to the Israelites will provide for your daily bread. Even if you don't find it on the ground. So he says, be of courage. Sometimes it's a process, and I know that's my most frustrating thing. When God works through a process. And it doesn't happen all at once, but it happens over the course of time. But he works. Trust that he will. Be encouraged by the current work of the Spirit because he gives us a hope so that we can have boldness. And finally, one more thing, and this one's incredible. Like this one just, I mean, I read it and I read it and I reread it and I went to commentaries and I went to other commentaries and I'm like, you can't possibly say this. It absolutely can't because this just, it's unreal. It just doesn't make any theological sense that Paul would write this. Unless, of course, God the Holy Spirit led him to write this because it is true. He says, verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. So he's saying, Jesus Christ, through God the Holy Spirit, he's given us this freedom from sin. And as we turn our eyes to Jesus, as we look to him, we are being transformed into the same likeness of Jesus, into his glory. That's incredible. Paul says we should be encouraged by the current work of the Spirit because we are being transformed into Jesus' glory. I mean, can you understand that? We can't fully comprehend God's glory. We don't have the faculties to fully experience his glory without being burned to a crisp, without being totally destroyed, without being vaporized. And yet Paul says, as you look to Jesus, you are transformed more and more into the likeness of his glory, his beauty, his splendor, his majesty. It's like the moon. From our perspective, as the moon is facing more towards the sun, it reflects the light of the sun. When it's not, it doesn't reflect as much. But if you saw that full moon a few days ago, maybe about a week ago now, oh my goodness, it was glorious. It was amazing. It's not the light of the moon, it's the light of the sun. And the image that Paul's giving us is as we look as if in a mirror at Jesus, his glory shines more and more. Our capacity to experience God's beauty grows and grows. And we're able to experience God more and more. Not just experience him, but take on his same character. Not just his character, but take on his same attributes. Take on his same beauty, his same splendor, his same glory. And that is the call of Christians. And in fact, when he's talking about here looking face to face, he's also talking about us when we come to church and when we gather. That's why it's so important. When we see each other, we are seeing Christ reflected in each other. How many times has someone been Jesus to you within church? It's happened. Someone takes time to pray with you, and you're, or even you said, hey, who do you know that reminds you of Jesus? And not perfectly, obviously. We're not going to reach that until we see him face to face. in heaven. But there are people that remind you of Jesus in your life. You're like, man, that person, you know, that my mom, my aunt, my grandma, my dad, right? Like, they remind me of the love of Jesus. They remind me of the compassion of Jesus. They remind me of his servant nature. And we see each other face to face with unveiled faces. We don't try and hide the glory of Jesus. We proclaim it. There are some of you here who are probably like me, you're a little jaded, and you're like, that sounds good on paper, but if you pay attention to the news, are Christians getting better or are they getting worse? Is the state of the church in America more like Jesus or just kind of a bit of a nightmare? The reality is the nightmare that we see, the scandal after scandal that we see, the Bible has a word for those people. It's hypocrite. And the thing with that word hypocrite is it literally means an actor. See, there is a huge difference between someone who fails to live up to the ideals they want to live by, right? And you can know that they're Christians because when they fail to live up to those, you know what they do? They repent and apologize and take whatever consequences they have to. A hypocrite is not someone who fails to live up to their ideals. A hypocrite is an actor. It is someone who is not the thing that they're pretending to be. And church, there are a lot of actors. There are a lot of false believers out there. And I think, I'm not saying all, I don't know their hearts, but I can tell you so many of these people who are going after scandal, they are actors. And yet they get all of the attention and they get all of the press and they have all the book deals and all the movie deals and all the small group deals. But you know what? There is a multitude of people just like this church around this country and around the world that are not the actors. They are true believers in Christ. They have experienced the glory of the Lord and they are being transformed into his likeness. Paul says you should be encouraged by the work of the Spirit, because we are being transformed into the glory of Jesus. We cannot experience, we just can't. We can't experience God's glory without being burned up. We can't experience His full glory, His full beauty, His full majesty without being vaporized. It's too much. And yet the image Paul has given us here is that as we grow closer to Christ, as we are transformed, we can experience more and more of His beauty, more and more of His glory. And he says we are being transformed into that likeness of glory. We are experiencing something greater than the Shekinah glory of God. We're experiencing something better than the plagues of Egypt. We're experiencing something more glorious and more powerful than the parting of the Red Sea or the manna for 40 years in the desert wilderness. He says, you are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. He shares with you His glory. And it's unreal. It's unfathomable. It just doesn't make any sense that He would share it with us. He's saying it's not just that you're experiencing a glory greater than what they did in the book of Exodus and the entire Old Testament and all the miracles that you saw. He says you're being transformed into the glory of Jesus. Who in the world can be like Jesus? Who can do the things that Jesus does? And yet, as we turn our eyes to Jesus, as we look to Him, He begins to change us. And little by little, we experience more of God's glory, more of God's beauty, more of His splendor, more of His majesty. And that glory, that beauty, that splendor, that majesty starts to become who we are. And then you are able to love like Jesus loved. You are able to heal like Jesus healed. You are able to speak life to the dead like Jesus spoke life to the dead. You are able to self-sacrifice the way Jesus self-sacrificed. It's not as flashy. It's not as visually appealing. But it lasts forever. Look, the physical, visible miracles, they all fade away and people forget about them. But things like compassion, sacrificial service, and love, those last forever and people will never, ever forget. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. with the work that the Holy Spirit is doing right now, even if you can't see it, because it is far better than the work that Moses did, because it gives you boldness to walk the way Jesus walked, and unbelievably, it transforms us into the glory of Jesus. God said in the book of Isaiah, "I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not share my glory with another." He does not give his glory to another, but he freely shares it with us. You, Christian, are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus' glory. Let's pray. Father, help us to turn our eyes to Jesus. Help us to look into his wonderful face. And as we are looking at Jesus, I pray that we are transformed more and more. I pray that, Father, we will see that the miracles in the Bible, as amazing and visually appealing as they are dullness compared to the transformed lives that we can experience ourselves and we can see experienced in others. I pray that as we live out our Christian lives, you will encourage us with the glory of the Lord, and that we will be changed and transformed so that we can experience more of your blessing, more of your glory, more of your beauty, more of your splendor in this increasingly dark and dying world. Father, change us and transform us. Help us to be encouraged that though we may never have seen a miraculous miracle with our eyes, yet the miracles we see that are unseen are far greater, are far better, and they're eternal. Help us to be transformed from glory to glory. We submit ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.